We are here tonight to celebrate a story that many people find hard to believe. A story about something that shouldn't happen, that goes against everything we see and know about our world. The dead stay dead. And yet, maybe the reason that it seems so strange is because we haven't really been paying attention. Maybe the clues to the reality of Easter are not only found in the pages of Holy Scripture. We don't simply need to take them as principles of faith, things we must believe without a shred of evidence anywhere else in our lives. You see, it turns out that the whole of creation echoes with the pattern written by God. I recently read a book called American Wolf about the reintroduction of wolves to Yellowstone National Park. The last of the wolves had been killed off in the Northern American Rockies in the 1920s after a focused effort by ranchers and hunters. But it turned out that the absence of wolves had significant and unexpected effects on the whole region's ecosystem. Deer and elk populations boomed, as you might expect, given the absence of their main predator. But other changes were no less present, yet less obvious, as they happened only gradually over time. They were so gradual, in fact, that it took scientists decades to understand how the disappearance of the wolf had truly and completely affected things. Then, in 1995, 3/4 of a century after the wolf disappeared from the Northern American Rockies, a group of scientists released a small pack of wolves into the national park. And in the subsequent years, the population grew and spread. Now, the initial assumption was that the wolves' return would mostly just affect the deer and elk populations, which is why hunters and ranchers had fought so hard against their reintroduction. But eventually, you see, scientists came to understand and discover that the effects transcended anything anyone had actually predicted. It did begin, in truth, with the deer and the elk, but not in the way anyone was expecting. It turned out, as you can think about it now, that in order to survive, those deer and elk had to run faster and farther, which they very quickly learned how to do. It's amazing what a wolf on your tail can cause you to do. And those faster, farther running deer and elk then aerated the soil with their hooves, which the scientists came to discover after they noticed that in the subsequent years, the native grasses were springing to life with new vibrancy. Those same deer and elk could no longer leisurely lounge in the shade of the willow and aspen tree groves, feasting on all of those little baby saplings. There were wolves around, after all. So after just a few years, the hardwood forest in Yellowstone began to significantly regenerate and expand. The expansion of those groves of trees, in turn, helped the beaver rebound from its near disappearance, because the beaver, you see, feed almost exclusively on willow, which had almost entirely been wiped out. And the growth of that beaver population meant more, you know, of those little beaver dams, which created more little pools of water, which actually help control flooding and runoff. And they also create perfect little ecosystems and habitat for all different varieties and species of birds, which had, many of whom had nearly disappeared from the park and now could return because they had proper environment. And meanwhile, the coyote population, which had grown to near nuisance numbers in the absence of wolves, now began to shrink back as the wolves returned, and this led to a rebound in rodent population, which then led to a surprising increase, a marked increase in the population of the eagles and the hawks and all the other predatory raptors who fed on those rodents. All of those birds had nearly disappeared in the park in the 75 years prior. Scientists discovered, to their surprise, that even brown and black bear in the region also benefited from the return of the wolves, because you see, bears like to take wolf kills. It's an easy meal. They just drive the wolves off and sit down and have a big meal. And so the return of the wolves meant more easy meals for their cubs, which led to more cubs surviving and an actual growth in the bear population. Here we are in 2018, nearly a quarter century after their reintroduction, and scientists are still discovering new effects on the ecosystem as it returns to its former state of health and balance. Scientists have a fancy term for this domino-like layering of effects. It's called a trophic cascade. Isn't that a great term? A trophic cascade. One significant event, in this case the return of a key predator, can completely transform and renew the health of a whole ecosystem. One single event, if it is significant enough, can impact the way life is experienced and enjoyed for multitudes of other species. That one thing affects a few other things, which in turn affect a few more things, and over time, the whole of creation returns to its intended state of balance and health. My dear friends, Easter is God's ultimate trophic cascade. Easter is how God initiated the eternal chain of events that ripples throughout all of time with power and possibility, renewing and transforming the whole of creation long after that fateful Sunday morning in Jerusalem. Just think about it for a moment. When God saw all the ways that we as his creatures had diverged from our intended and original goodness, when we continued to err and stray like lost sheep, God could have responded in lots of ways. God could have just ended it all and started over. God could have chosen to remove free will from the human soul, made us all blindly obedient. But what God did was drop a pebble in the pool of creation and let it ripple out with all of its inevitable divine potency until the waves that it created rolled over every single square inch and every single last life in our world. And that pebble was none other than Jesus Christ. When God raised Jesus from the dead, God began something that is still taking shape today. It was never about just bringing one life back to life, one life back from the dead, even if that one life was God's very own son. It was always about the ultimate goal of returning and restoring the face of the whole world to its intended balance and health, to its original goodness. So just like that trophic cascade in the Yellowstone, the impact of Easter is still being felt and discovered to this very day. It began in a garden in Jerusalem with just a few women as witnesses, and it's been spreading outward ever since. Slowly, yes, but relentlessly. And the effects just keep on growing as that great trophic cascade of salvation unfolds. Let me give you a few examples of how I've seen this work. Jesus being raised is God's great yes to life. And it affirms for us that the goal of salvation is not just some hoped for heavenly future, some great by and by in the sky, some life beyond this life. It has always been about the restoration of this world every bit as much as life in the next. And that truth, that reality, that great yes to life by God through Jesus Christ, you see, what that does is it strengthens us to be less cynical, to be less resigned to the long shadow of the valley of death in our world, which then in turn leads us to stand for victims of violence and war, all those who suffer needlessly in the darkness and despair of our world, people like, refugees, women caught in trafficking, military veterans struggling with PTSD, children who are stuck in the foster care system. And then our efforts to serve them, in turn, help those vulnerable and marginalized people restart their lives and leave that valley of the shadow of death behind so that they can seek out those greener pastures and tranquil waters, which in turn leads to more peace, more joy, more life in our world. And because God won the victory of eternal life through an act of peace and forgiveness, we know that the plan to growing God's kingdom, the path to growing that kingdom, follows a path of mercy rather than force, which then inspires those of us who follow him to set aside weapons in order to get our way and trust that forgiveness really is God's ultimate, great, eternal, cosmic way of peace, his instrument, which causes us then to forgive others more quickly, starting right at home in our own families, but then also, our coworkers, our neighbors, the people who really irritate and frustrate us, which helps us then to heal and mend our own broken relationships, and then also advocate for a world that doesn't have weapons. It leads us to do more bridge building with people who are different from us, who think differently than us, who vote differently than us, which leads to more peace and more joy and more life in our world. And Jesus being raised from the dead shows us that we don't have to be afraid. We really don't. No matter what the situation might be, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of sad or bad things happening because the resurrection shows us once and for all that the worst things will not be the last thing, which then can stir up in us courage, bravery, to risk more for the sake of others, to come out from our hidey holes and our safe bastions. And that may lead us to find that we are spending more time in places that we used to do a lot of avoiding. We spend more time in neighborhoods that we used to be afraid of, and in places like, prison, or even in countries that aren't on our vacation bucket list, which means then that we're spending more time loving the people who it turns out needed love the most to begin with, which, brings more peace and more joy and more life in this world. And Jesus, being raised from the dead, shows us that all the things that he taught us are not just pipe dreams. Loving enemies, turning the other cheek, giving away your money and possessions, they really are, it turns out, the nature of God's kingdom. And when you really believe these things are of God, that they're not just simply some fantasy held by a really nice first century rabbi in Palestine, when you believe they're actually of God, you start to try to do them, which impacts one life, and then another, and then another. And all of a sudden, the Spirit, which before barely seemed like a little whisper of breath on the back of your neck every once in a while, all of a sudden now you can feel it blowing in your face hard all the time, and you see that it is blowing all over the face of the whole world. Yes, it's a trophic cascade, all right. It's God's great trophic cascade. And it began on a hillside outside of the walls of Jerusalem in a small cave tomb of a man named Jesus. That's where God dropped that pebble. That's where God introduced the wolf back into the ecosystem. That's where God chose to start the ripple that is building the bridge that connects us all with eternity. And all of God's people said,